You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Hey, friend. Oh, yeah, let's go. What a great day. There was a Pew study which happened about 5 years ago, and the outcome of the study said this: 6 out of 10 adults are too busy to enjoy life. Now, I have to confess, the cynic in me, when I read this, thought, you have got to be kidding me. You're too busy to enjoy life. I suppose we have to ask ourselves, is this really the truth, or is this some kind of self-fulfilling prophecy? Are we actually busy, or do we feel as though we're more important, or we have to be busy because everybody else around us constantly tells us how busy they really are? And I submit to you, this is the reason why we pray for peace so much. Because we're over-anxious, over-busy, over-rushing, overextending, and I gotta tell you, guilty as charged. I love a full schedule. Let's go. Let's get as much as we possibly can in a day. My idea of vacation is you go as hard as you can, as long as you can, as fast as you can, for as much as you can, and the last day, you take a nap. Sometimes this strategy is wonderful, and I have to confess to you, like this week, sometimes my body says, Brian Ebel, you're done. So sometimes it doesn't work. Pray for Mandy a lot. Yeah, you know, so we pray, Lord, give me peace. And maybe the reason we pray for peace is we're over busy, over full, overextended, over anxious because we're on the wrong mission. That's why I've said since the very beginning of this teaching series, prayer is supposed to be like a halo jump. You jump out at 40-some-odd thousand feet, and you're going to pull the chute at somewhere around 2,000 feet, and we're going to pray that God works it all out in the end. And we've said prayer is not an easy button that conforms us to the things of this world. It's an invasion of the kingdom of God, which brings heaven to earth. And that boldness, that's what we're after today. Not peace, but boldness. Well, take a look at what the gospel says to us from Mark 16. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed." Another way we might see this is, "Peace be to you. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Let me ask you something, friends. Do you find lots of peace in this passage? Let me remind you of what we just heard. They went out, they fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That's Easter. Not bunnies. Not new dresses or ties, or 25 verses of "Just As I Am." That's Easter. Fear, astonishment. They said nothing to anybody. That's Easter. I gotta tell you, it should scare us just a little bit. Imagine being Peter. He just denied knowing Jesus 3 times, and now you hear he's gonna meet you ahead in Galilee. That doesn't sound good to me, friends. I mean, I think our tendency is we see Jesus as sort of like the Swedish hair model Jesus, where it's long and flowing and, you know, this kind of thing. But we're talking about the one who's been raised in glory. The one who is before there was time. The one with all power and dominion and authority who sits at the right hand of God. This is who we're talking about. And if you don't just kind of go, I mean, come on. All they know is that he's ahead. That's the instruction. He's ahead. Go meet him there. Let me ask you a question, friends. How often do you know what God desires for you to do, and then you decide, I need to pray for a really long time about that? I need to have a spiritual discernment committee of 90 days. Like sharing our faith. I'm just waiting for the right moment. Or serving. I'm going to pray about that for about 6 weeks. And then once the opportunity's passed, well. Or holy living. I think I need to understand this first. If you could just help me psychologize why I do the things that I do. And let me help you, friends. Sometimes understanding and obedience, they're not very much linked. Does understanding help? You betcha. Sometimes it's just a whole lot easier if we say, well, I need to quit figuring out why I do this, and instead just say, this is what God requires of me. This is what I'm going to go and do. Let me ask you a question. If you cut your arm wide open, I'm talking like it's laying everywhere and there's blood gushing out and everything, are you going to stop and pray about that for a long time? I mean, you're going to have a discernment committee on how all that kind of works, or are you going to head to the hospital and pray on the way? Well, are you telling us don't pray today? Is that what you're after, Brian? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying there are moments in our lives where we don't know what we're supposed to do, and we're supposed to fall on our knees like they did in the Old Testament and say, God, we're not sure what to do. We have no clue where we're going. We're not entirely certain of what you're going to do and if you're going to meet us there, and God, please help us. And we wait on him, and we don't move until we know what we're supposed to do. And there are other times where the Lord has made it incredibly clear to us, here's what you're supposed to do, go. And in those moments, we pray for peace, we pray for help, we pray for boldness and strength as we're walking. We already know what we're supposed to do. When you know what to do, quit praying for peace about it. Let me help you. I've been here with you for 5.5 years now. Haven't had much peace, but I got a lot of gray hair. If I'd have stopped to wait for peace every moment we've gone through together for the last 5 years, we'd still be waiting. But I know this, God meets us. I know that he gives us strength and boldness and power to go when we're called to go. That's worth it. There's plenty of fear. You know how many times I've been afraid? Gosh, I remember the first Sunday I was here, I thought, you don't want to know what I thought. I just thought, why am I here? But God provides for you along the way. You see, there's a difference between peace and contentment. Peace is a state of agreement. It's harmony. It's well-being. Paul tells us again and again in his letters that we have grace and peace from Jesus Christ. God wants us to live in harmony, in agreement, in well-being with him. That's why Jesus went to the cross and rose again on the third day. It's why he says in the gospel stories beyond Mark, peace, when he sees the disciples. We have peace with God. He has destroyed the barrier that exists between people and God, and now we can live in the fullness of his presence. That's real peace, friends. Contentment is something different. It's the ability for something to be enough or adequate or satisfactory. Moses was content to dwell in Midian. He lost his 5-star accommodations at the Pharaoh's palace. That was not fun. And he's living out with a bunch of sheep now. Imagine that. But he was content. Jesus says to be content with your wages. They're adequate. That's why we pray, give us today our daily bread. Not tomorrow, not 6 weeks from now, but today. Help me be content with the adequacy that you have provided, O God. Paul said he could be content in a Roman prison. That's not a fun place to hang out. But you see, Paul had peace with God. so he could be content in his circumstances. So here's what I want you to understand, friends. Scripture points us repeatedly for us having peace with God and contentment in the world. And somewhere along the way, we get it flipped in our lives. We want peace with the world and contentment with God. We want there to be a state of harmony and agreement and well-being with the world around us, and so we'll conform to all of the things around us, and we're okay to just be adequate with God. And let me totally wreck your day and yet help you in your life. If that's the way you're going to live, you'll find yourself praying for peace for a really, really long time. If you follow Jesus, you'll have peace with God. But I guarantee you, you won't always be at peace in this world. But you can be content. You can be content to know that God will provide what you need when you need it, for as much as you need it, as long as you need it along the way. People pray for peace way too much in their lives. Don't be at peace with your life circumstances. Be at peace with God. Otherwise, you'll have worries about this situation or this relationship or that relationship, and you'll never have enough peace. That's why we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we would be at peace with God's desires for our life. It's what Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will, Father, but your will be done. And when you've got that kind of peace with God, you'll be content with your job, your daily bread, your circumstances. And to recognize that all of your life, as much as you think you're in control of it, it's all in God's hands anyway. Peace. See, that's what Jesus told us in all the other gospel scriptures regarding the resurrection. Don't be afraid. Peace to you. Peace be with you. I brought you peace. The peace of God has come. And the people of God, they left and they went to Galilee. And they were content with whatever life would bring them from there forward. Send me to a lion's den. Send me to the middle of a Roman prison. Send me to the people who can't stand me. Send me to the ends of the earth where I don't feel content, where everything is uncomfortable, where I wonder where my next meal is coming from. And I'm good, God. Because I know where real peace comes from. And the walls shook and the kingdom came and the people of God woke up every day with the purposes of God on their heart, and they were dangerous. Man, that's what I want to be, dangerous for the kingdom. Anybody else? Wow, that was underwhelming, friends.
I just want to be content.
I mean, we're content to have content spiritual lives, but we want peace with the world? It's backwards. Do you have the peace of God? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is the Holy Spirit at work in your heart and in your life? Are you a witness everywhere you go? Are you sharing the message? Are you generous with other people? Are you serving? And if the power and presence isn't at work in your life, then here's my encouragement. We just commissioned a prayer team. Don't walk down, run down to the altar today and pray. And let the peace of God fill you, because church, I don't want to run an adequate kind of community. I want a church that's at peace with God and realizing He's provided everything we could ever possibly need for this life and life beyond, and that's where we find our life. And that's why we're willing to give our life away. And that's what it is for the kingdom of God to come on earth as it is in heaven. Are you in for that kind of life? Well, it's here for the taking. And I think the Spirit is very much at work and active in this community of people called St. Luke. So let's seek Him, as the scriptures say, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And let's trust Him that in the moments of life where we feel discontent, where we feel afraid, where we don't know what's next, that the peace of God will provide everything we could ever possibly need. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you for your love, for your faithfulness, for the scriptures as we open them up, for the way that they bring us life. And God, we recognize there are moments we seem to just want an adequate life with you and peace with this world. So shake us up today. Spirit of the living God, come and visit this community. Come and fill our hearts. Come and rekindle within us the fire of the early church to lead a movement that changed the world.